welcome back to this week's edition of the Algerian Football Podcast. Hope everyone is doing good. Hope you've had a great weekend. Hope everyone is doing well. We've got lots of stories to jump into in today's episode. If you're watching, welcome. Of course, you can also listen on Spotify. Just search Algerian Football Podcast and on the iTunes store as well. If you want to listen to it on the go, on your commute, or whenever you like. Maybe when you're about to sleep, who knows. But anyway, we've got lots of topics to get through. We'll start off quickly with the main Algerian team. Of course, we expect them to return back to action next month for two fixtures, probably two international friendlies, because those AFCON qualifiers have been postponed due to AFCON moving. It looks like we're going to be playing two African teams, because the European teams are playing in the Nations League. It's a very small window. It's literally 8 days of two matches, so it's going to be a very tight squeeze. Looking like Guinea and Ghana, looks like Guinea and then Ghana, with both games perhaps in Algeria and a sort of a, maybe sort of an opening ceremony sort of style for Baraki, but more probably in Oran, because I think we haven't actually seen the main Algeria team play in Oran yet. So expect maybe a Guinea or a Ghana or both to be playing Algeria in Oran towards the end of September. So that's what you've got to look forward to. And I think that's actually it for Algeria for the rest of the year, unless we get a cheeky game in when the World Cup kicks off, as sort of a warm-up game against someone. So that's what it looks like for Algeria. Of course, if we were at the World Cup, there would have been a lot more to look forward to this year, our warm-up games, our free group games. We would have been buzzing, basically, to be looking forward to that, counting down the days, booking trips to Doha and Qatar, I'm sure. But unfortunately, we couldn't hold on to that 1-1 in Blida. But anyway, that's what it looks like for Algeria, Guinea, and Ghana on the horizon. We actually played Ghana first game of this year, didn't we? Beat them 3-0, and now they're at the World Cup. And we're not. Let's look back at the weekend's action. We'll start with my team, West Ham United. Played Nottingham Forest away. Unfortunately, we lost 1-0. I have to say, we didn't deserve to lose. We should have won the game 3-4, 5-1. We hit the post twice. We're going to talk about Saïd Benrahma here, because he started. It was one change. It was Benrahma in for Lanzini. And I think Benrahma was the best player on the pitch. And I'm not being biased. I think anyone that watched that game, even as a neutral, would admit that Saïd Benrahma was the man of that match. First half, the goal. Now, it's a tidy finish. We'll come to the VAR decision in a second. But people are forgetting, Saïd picked the ball up. Incredible first touch. Carried the ball about 60, 65 yards. Played a 1-2. Ball falls back to him in the box, and he delicately finishes it, and it would have been West Ham's first goal of the season. Well, it looked like it was, so I celebrated it. Very harsh disallowed goal. I don't think it's a foul by Antonio. I think it's a 50-50 clatter, and it's a very harsh decision to disallow that goal. So unlucky for Saïd, because he deserved the goal for how he created that counter-attack. Then we're losing to some fluke. Then we get a penalty again. The confidence of Saïd Benrahma, he should have stepped up and he should have taken that penalty. Now, of course, at West Ham, we've recently had Mark Noble retired, and Mark Noble has pretty much taken all the penalties for the last 10 to 15 years. Declan Rice, captain now. I don't know, Rice took it. He's missed one last season. I don't know why Rice took the penalty. You think of Benrahma, his performance, his confidence going into that game, should have taken the penalty. And I think he would have scored it. I think Benrahma's taken seven and scored seven penalties in his career. I think he's taken penalties for Brentford. Why didn't Saïd take it? I don't know. Dean Henderson, good name, but saved the penalty, unfortunately. And we lost 1-0. And then later on in that game, Saïd Benrahma, who, by the way, didn't get substituted by David Moyes. If ever that's a vote of confidence, that shows how well he played. The fact that Moyes finally didn't substitute him. Hits the bar from a free kick. A fantastic free kick. And even though it hit the bar, it bounced down on the line. We had to get the goal line technology out again. And then it was cleared away. So, you know, on another day, Benrahma could have had a hat-trick if the VAR goal stood, if the one from the free kick went in, and if he's got to take the penalty, he could have had a hat-trick. And I think West Ham will look to keep him now. If we went now and sold our best player from the last game, there'd be a lot of alarm bells ringing. But expect lots of business from West Ham, the likes of Emerson, Vanaken, maybe Payet coming back, Tilo Kehrer at the back. You're going to see a lot of business from us from now until the end of the window, which has less than 3 weeks to go. Now, while we're speaking about Nottingham Forest, they are very close to signing Houssam Aouar. Now, how the hell has Houssam Aouar gone from this Lyon prodigy, valued at about 70 million euros, being linked with the likes of Arsenal and Juventus, ended up at Nottingham Forest for about 10 to 15 million? I think it's bonkers. And I think when Fekir and Aouar were bursting through and decided that, oh, we have to play for France to have the best club career, I don't think people were expecting them to end up at Real Betis and Nottingham Forest. That's ridiculous. But the good news from an Algeria perspective is that we know the pressure on, from Lyon, from Aulas, on his Lyon players playing for France. Once you take Aouar out of that Lyon dressing room, that Lyon vibe, there's far less pressure on his shoulders to play for the French national team, in my opinion. And I think him at Forest, whilst it is Forest, it is Premier League football. He'll be playing with the likes of Dennis and Lingard and all these sorts of players. I think Aouar will be more pushed towards Algeria because he's playing in England. You know, it's not like playing in France when you've got all that pressure. Playing in England, he doesn't have to play for France. He can easily play for Algeria. He hasn't got the pressure from upstairs at Lyon. But I think it's bonkers, and I hope that the future talents, your Shirkies, your eight Noris of this world, your Adleys, learn from this and realise you don't need to play for the French to automatically get a big move. He's going to Nottingham bloody Forest. I think it's ridiculous, but what a deal that is for Nottingham Forest if they get that over the line. So elsewhere in the Premier League, we saw Mr. Riyad Mahrez start his first Premier League game of the season. Interesting tactical switch. He played on that right-hand side. Phil Foden moved over to the left and Jack Grealish moved to the bench. Unfortunately, Riyad Mahrez didn't pick up an attacking return, although he did get to play the full 90 minutes, which is fantastic for his fitness. But there's a moment in the first half, and I think this has been the story of Mahrez's Man City career. Phil Foden is got to the six-yard box, no defenders. He's got Mahrez and Haaland to square it to, and he's had a shot. And I think that's why Pep Guardiola decides to take him off at half-time. And he got a goal and an assist, Foden, I know. But that sort of decision-making has cost Mahrez so many goals, so many assists, because if Mahrez is in that situation, he's going to pass it. Foden, look, you've got Riyad there, you've got Haaland there. Just pass to him. What you're doing, mate? It's shocking. It's actually shocking, because if Mahrez did that and had a shot and he missed, there would have been a lot of people on his case. But when Phil the Golden Boy Foden does it, oh, it's okay because it's Phil Foden, he's from the academy. I'm sorry, Mahrez was robbed there of a goal. And that's even if Haaland missed it himself. He got in a great position, Mahrez, to get into that six-yard box. Just pass the ball, mate. And Raheem Sterling did it a lot, and that might ultimately be why Pep was happy to let Raheem Sterling go. But I have to say, an absolute shambles of a decision to not pass that, and it ultimately got taken off at half-time. Newcastle away next for Manchester City. Hopefully Mahrez plays, but after that they've got Forest at home, I think, where I think Mahrez will definitely be looking to link up with Erling Haaland a little bit more. The more those two play together, I think at the moment they've been on more holidays together than played games together, they'll get that telepathic chemistry going, so that'll be good. Elsewhere in Ligue 1, well, we actually saw a few leagues kick off. We'll dive into those in a second. Nice, of course. First home game, Andy Delors, first goal of the season. We know I think Delors is guaranteed double figures in Liga. I think it was a penalty, Delors' goal. Ultimately, Nice drew again. So that's 2 points from two games for Nice, but they're still sort of gelling their players together. Youssef Attal and Bilal Brahimi both came on as wingers. So we had a front three at one point of Bilal Brahimi on the left, Youssef Attal playing as a right winger on the right with Andy Delors up front. Might see that in an Algeria setup one day soon, hopefully. I do like Bilal Brahimi a lot. But I have to say, I'm expecting Nice to pick up a lot more points than that with respect to Strasbourg. They should be beating them at home. But we'll let it off now. West Ham playing in the Conference League this week. There's a few Conference League playoff rounds. We've seen already in European competitions this season Algeria's stance on the situation between Israel and Palestine. We've seen players at clubs refuse to travel to Israel to play the Israeli club. So we saw Ahmed Touba at Başakşehir here refuse to travel to Israel for that game. We saw Lugano, we saw Mohamed Amora refuse to travel to Israel for their game. Of course, not every country decides to do this. We saw Ashraf Hakimi happily travel to play the French Super Cup for PSG. He played in Israel. The Moroccan international. Algerians and Palestinians have always had, in and outside of football, in any walk of life, a fantastic bond relationship. I think the closest bond between any country with Palestine is with Algeria, in my opinion, from what I've seen, and even the football matches when Algeria invite the Palestinians over to play them. Now, it's all well and good, you know, we've even seen years ago, I remember Yassin Brahimi in a Champions League group game didn't want to travel to Maccabi Tel Aviv because I don't think he wanted to play there. But now Nice have got an Israeli team. And people say you shouldn't really mix the politics with the football. Well, we're talking about human lives here. We're talking about a situation. We see the Ukraine-Russia situation plastered all over the news. We see minute silences. We see flags. We see Russian clubs banned. Why are the Israeli clubs not banned? Why are they not banned for committing human atrocities for years gone by? I don't understand why it's one rule for the Russians but not another rule for the Israelis. Anyway, the point is, in terms of the Algerian football podcast, is Nice have got an Israeli club. Now, this means that they are going to have to travel to Israel. And we're not talking one Algerian at Nice. We're talking Youssef Attal. We're talking Hisham Badawi. We're talking Bilal Brahimi. We're talking Teddy Boulhendi. We're talking, Andy Delors, of course. This is going to be a big play card now from Delors. If Delors goes to that game, Algerians are going to jump on his back. I think Delors has happily said he'll come back to play for Algeria. But if you see all the Algerian internationals not go and Delors goes, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be received badly, I think. Of course, you've got players then, like the likes of Amin Gouri, who is, of course, Algerian descent but wants to play for France. What's his stance going to be? And how did Nice approach this? Because we're talking 6, 7, 8 players potentially that are not going to go. We're talking 6, 7 easily players that won't go. And it might cost Nice, it might cost them a place in the group stage of the Europa Conference League. So I don't know how this is going to end. Of course, I think when they play the home game, you'll see them all in action. You'll see a few Algerians go to that game, support Nice even more. But I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be an interesting situation. And of course, not all of those players are fully fit, etc. Attal could easily say, oh, I'm injured, I can't go, etc, etc. But there's a story to keep an eye on, because Nice are going to be missing a few players. But be sure to leave your comments in the comment section below if you want to have your say on that take. I think it's great that the players use their platform to support Palestine, but, you know, how are they going to approach it? For me personally, I think every Algerian player should not be going. I think if you have a stance, you all get behind it. Because if half go and half don't, it just looks a bit dodgy. It looks like a sort of a personal thing. But this is a human rights thing. But, you know, elsewhere in Liga anyway, Stade Brestois drew to Marseille in the late game. Now, Youssef Belaïli didn't start, which disappointed a lot of people. Did come on in the second half. Got a point. But I thought Harris Bukubla had a fantastic game in the midfield. And maybe the pressures of seeing Yassine Adli, Hussam Awar is going to up Harris Bukubla's game. Wasn't impressed when he played Sierra Leone, but he was on his own in there. I think he did very well in the two with Lys Malou against Marseille. So Bukubla was fantastic against a good midfield, the likes of Guendouzi in there. He was very good. All the leagues have kicked off. What a start for Ismail Benassa. I don't think Milan won the game, but he was very good in the middle. He was, you know, his passes take 4 or 5 players out of the game. So that was fantastic. Rashid Gazelle scored to make it 3-0 to Besiktas. And then they ended up drawing the game 3-3. I don't know how that's happened. So, unfortunately, Rashid Gazelle couldn't get the win in Turkey. But we're off the mark in football again. Of course, it's starting early because of the World Cup, like we said at the top of the show, which we're not going to be in, unfortunately. So, that sort of wraps up this week's show. Thank you so much for listening or watching on whatever platform you're consuming this podcast on. Now, we shall leave you with the quiz. I asked you a question last week. I said, which player did not play their football, club football in England at one point? And of course, the correct answer was Yassine Brahimi, because Karim McMoore, of course, played for Huddersfield and Andy Delors played for Wigan. Funnily enough, both at the time were not even in the Premier League, they were in the Championship. So Yassine Brahimi, of course, Granada, Porto, and then off to these Qatari clubs, which no one really cares about. Adeline Gudiora is back in Qatar. He's at Al Duhail. He just seems to... What a weird journey. He was in Qatar, then he was at Sheffield United, Qatar, Burton Albion, Qatar. What's next? Tranmere, Exeter? I don't know, but the wonderful world of Adeline Gudiora never ceases to amaze us. So now it's time for this week's quiz. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to leave your quiz answers in the comments down below. So this is this week's question. Which of these players has not scored against Algeria? Is it A, Bruno Fernandes, B, Cristiano Ronaldo, or C, Gonçalo Guedes? Which of these players has not scored against Algeria ever in their career? Is it Bruno, is it CR7, or is it Guedes, who's just gone to Wolves in the Premier League? I'll let you know the answer next week. Have a great week. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.